This week on the Rock for Him podcast, we talk to Jackson Scott of the band Unbroken Reign.
What's up? I'm Jackson from Unbroken Reign, and if you're going to rock, rock for him.
Well, hello and welcome into the Rock for Him podcast. I am your host, Sanshoes. As you can see, I am once again joined by my little sister, Miss Kira Starr. Kira, we missed you.
I miss you guys too.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Before I introduce our guest, if you happen to be on Facebook and you're in our chat, just go ahead and drop a question or a comment for our guest, and we will throw it at him. If you're on Twitch, you can go ahead and throw a comment in there. If you're on YouTube, we have all that up here, so we can take those comments and questions, and we'll throw them at our guest tonight, which is Mr. Jackson Scott of Unbroken Reign. We are so excited to have you on today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me on. It's really cool to be here.
Well, we are thankful to have you here. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about the band?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I and the band are from Texas. We're all between the ages of 16 and 20. And I scream for the band. I hoot and holler real loud. I'm what we call the harsh vocalist.
Love it. Love it. Wait, did you say between 16 and 20?
That's correct. So our drummer is our youngest at 16, and our singer is 18, like, this weekend or very soon. Or sorry, he's 20. He's 20 this weekend or very soon.
Yeah, this is the next generation of Christian metal, these dudes right here.
I am so old at this moment. Like, I'm 50 years old. Like, I... Let me go get my cane and my... Well, I do wear hearing aids, so that's
too many years. But this is so exciting. Yeah. These guys are young, and they're so talented. Holy crap. Like, on fire. And they're on fire for Jesus. And they're making it. Like, you guys literally are going to turn the whole world upside down. It's going to be amazing.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, I will admit, being an old guy... I didn't know much about you guys, and Kira's like, you have to listen to these guys. You have to listen to them. I'm like, all right. Your music is fantastic. I love screamy Jesus music. Fantastic. You guys, for being so young, bro, You guys are raising the bar for some people. I think some of the older guys like me are going to be looking at you going, okay, I see you guys. I see you guys.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. Huge fan. It's Bloodlines and then you guys. Yeah! Woo! Okay.
All right, I'm just going to let you two talk. I'm going to go like drink some Metamucil or something.
Oh, my gosh. But it's so cool because you did a song with Bloodlines. Yeah. That is also one of my favorites.
Thank you. Yeah, that one was really fun because the guys in Bloodlines have been nothing but supportive of us, and we love those. Can you hear me okay? Hold
on. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. We gotcha.
The guys in Bloodlines have been nothing but supportive of us. We love them to death, especially their drummer and singer, Matthew. And so we had that song written out, and... It was kind of built for like multiple vocalists. It was kind of just structured well for that kind of thing. And so I was like, you know, who would kill this is both of the Bloodlines guys, and we literally just were like, hey, do you guys want to help us out with a new track? And they immediately were like, yeah, we'll do it. And they absolutely destroyed it. It's so good. I love their parts and all that.
It is amazing. Literally, the two songs that I play literally every day, like all the time, are Fighting with Flesh and Left My Chains in the River. And it's just like on repeat all day long. Such good songs. If you haven't listened to those songs yet, people, you need to do it right now. Well, after the interview, and then do it.
Yeah, stay and listen to this first, and then go listen to their music. And I'm telling you, we've already got people in the chat. Like, there's one here. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name. It's Vasha. It says, very cool band. We got people on YouTube. Dustin Epps says, repping Texas.
I know Dustin. Yes. I know Dustin very well.
And Socket the Poser says, Jackson, what's up, bro? I'm assuming these are people too. You know.
Yeah. Dustin, shout out to Dustin, because he is at literally every Unbroken Rain show. I mean, he's been at the, like, all, literally every single one of our past ones, and we don't really leave DFW, but I believe he's also making his way to our show in Nashville in November. That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard. But he's probably one of our biggest supporters here in DFW. He's the man.
Love it. So
yeah, and speaking of shows, you're going to be an Immersion.
Yeah, yes, we are.
I'm so excited.
So are we.
I'm so excited for this.
You can't tell Kira's a little bit of a fan, can you?
I was literally, like, I've been trying to get you guys on Immersion, and I know it was, like, a back and forth for a while, and they didn't even tell me that they picked you up, and then I saw your name on the flyer, and I freaked out. I was so excited. You're going to be with Small Voice and Unworthy, like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no we way. Are so, so excited. It'll be our first out-of-state show, like, ever, so we're super stoked for that, and it'll also be our first legit festival, so that's very cool as well. We're extremely grateful for the opportunity. We really appreciate you guys.
Yeah, I'm so excited, so I'll get to meet all of you guys in person in September. I'm not weird, it's fine.
I don't think I've ever seen you this giddy before. Like, this is awesome.
I'm Broken Raid, like, you don't get it.
Oh, love it. So tell us a little bit, how did you guys get started? I mean, you guys are all very young, but how did you get started? How did you get going?
Yeah, for sure. So we all actually grew up going to the same church for like Wednesday night youth group, and that's how we all met. There's five of us, and so we all just kind of like were around each other hanging out. And I am very like close with our singer, and he and I hung out before I knew anyone else at the church. So, it kind of started with like me and him, but then also him and our guitar player, Lucas, like separately. Cause they, like, I was making music, a little bit in a band where I played guitar. But then they had their thing that they had started something together. And they were just like, you know what? We love metal music and we love Jesus. And, you know, why not do this together, you know? And so they're just kind of like, it was just them two plus our drummer for a little while. And then I joined as, I was supposed to be the singer, but I wasn't very good at it. So I'm the screamer now. And then our bass player, Caleb, was the last to join. And so that's the five of us.
I got to tell you, I don't know if you realize this, but you guys are reaching all over the place. I've got a comment here. A guy in New York says, watching you guys from New York. You guys are an excellent band. Another guy, Matthew Furr, watching from Alaska. All your stuff is on rotate in my iTunes, bro.
Like, that's awesome.
Like, wow. Like, that. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's crazy. I think... Yeah, we actually, like, one of the biggest surprises in our career so far, to me at least, is our reach. I mean, since we're out on every streaming platform, anyone can listen to us. What I'm surprised about is that anyone will. And I remember, like, we all have, like, the Spotify for Artists app. And so I remember, like, I was checking our stats all the time right after when we dropped our album Thrones. And I remember, like, all of a sudden we went from, like, Midlothian and Dallas being our only cities pretty much. We had, like, Melbourne and, like, places in the UK. And, like, we're kind of popping in Australia, actually, which is really cool. But that just blew my mind the first time I saw that on our stats, that, like, we have listeners in South America and in Australia and Europe. Like, that's so crazy, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, and you have the help of Kingdom Core. Kingdom Core loves you, and that's going to help you get out there for sure. But yeah, really, you guys are just, you really are just really talented. The music sounds so professional. It sounds so well put together. I mean, you would have no idea that you guys have only been doing this for a little while. It just literally sounds so much better than so many other things that I've listened to. And the lyrics are beautiful, and they're deep, and they make sense to anyone of all ages, any gender, like, no matter what you've gone through. It's crazy to me how young you are, but you understand on every level what it's really like to go through stuff, which I'm going to ask you about shortly in a little bit, your testimony and all that stuff. But yeah, it just blows me away. It's so personal. You know, I'm a lot older than you. I've been through a lot, very different things, I'm sure. But your music still relates to me no matter what. And that just means so much to me. And it's all scriptural based.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much. That really, that means a lot. I am our main lyricist, and I take a lot of pride in that. Like, I take a lot of pride in the lyrics that I write. So that really means a lot. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
So when it comes to writing music, how do you guys tackle that? Because you guys are very scripturally deep in your songs. Like, I was quite surprised. That's why when you said you're like from 16 to 20, that's why it blew me away. I'm like, man, these guys know more than I do. Like,
yeah.
Well, it's really like, when it comes to lyrics, what I usually do is the guys will like crank out an instrumental demo, and we'll tweak it and we'll pass it around between each other and be like, here's what I want to change about this, here's what I want to keep, that kind of thing. But then I, either after the instrumental's finished or during the process, I will go, okay, here's a topic I want to write about, or here's what's been put on my heart. And I just sit down and this sounds kind of silly, but literally I will Google, like, Bible verses about XYZ, Bible verses about blank. And I'll find lists of just verses and scripture, and I'll dive, like, I'll open up my Bible and look at the surrounding verses and all that kind of thing. And I will take pieces that I'm like, oh, I can rhyme something with that. Or, like, you know, I'll just take pieces that I think can work well, towards the theme that I'm going for, and I piece them together, and you could call it paraphrasing. I add, you know, my own verbiage in there and that all that stuff. And then our singer plus lead guitar player plus producer Ethan, he comes last, and he's very good at this, but he takes, like, the complex things that I write about in all the verses, and he sums it up really well in the chorus in, like, a very accessible way, in a very clean way. And so he's really good at that.
Yeah, and I love Ethan's voice. I really do. That's what is so cool, is you kind of guys are bringing back, like, some old school stuff for me, like some of that emo stuff, and I love it. It's beautiful. He's good at it.
He's great at it. I know I kind of have to say that, but I really do think so. Like, we had a singer before him, who, like, we never released anything with him, but when he left, Ethan was like, okay, I'll fill in, but we're gonna get a new singer. And it very quickly became that, like, that's his, like, favorite thing. He likes it more than playing guitar now, and, like, he loves to do it. And I would never want to replace him. He's incredible.
Yeah, please don't replace him ever. Please, please, please.
That kind of sounds like me on the podcast. I told our other co-host, Jeremy, you know what? I'll get you guys started, but I don't want to do this forever. 5 years later,
main here guy. I am.
So, yeah. So, I've been sitting here wondering, who's the youngest one in the band?
Our drummer, Nick. He's 16. And then it's our bass player, Caleb, who's 17. And now our guitarist, Lucas, is 18. And he and Nick are brothers. Okay. And then I'm 19 years old as of April. And Caleb and Ethan are also brothers, so I'm the odd one out.
So when the 16-year-old screws something up, like playing a song and mess something up, how much grief do you guys give him? I mean, you're like, don't make us go get you a juice box or something, like tease him because of his age.
Well, what's crazy is that, honestly, he's like, I forget that he's only 16. I mean, he just feels like one of us, you know. And it's like he's like a little brother to me, but it's also like he's very mature like for being 16, and also honestly he doesn't screw up the songs all that much. I mean, he's incredible, really. Like, he practices more than any of us, just like when no one's watching. Like, I practice every Sunday when we have band practice, but he's just all the time. Like, he's practicing, he learns the demos before they're even done. Like, he's a machine, and it's incredible, like, to get to work with him.
Love it. Awesome. I love hearing that, honestly.
And I also love how you let Caleb, like, you can hear the bass guitar in your songs a lot. Like, you give him space, you give him time. You'll end the song with it sometime. Like, I absolutely love that. Thank you for doing that. That's a new twist, I think, on some metal for sure that we needed.
Yeah. We just like the way that sounds, to have a lot of bass, like real audible, real open in the mix. And I just like, I would hate to have a 5-piece band and then tell one of the guys, like, hey, they're not going to hear you. Just deal with it. Like, I think that would suck.
For real.
Nice.
Awesome.
So, like Kira said earlier, we're going to ask you about your testimony. Can you share with us a little bit how you came to know Christ?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I grew up Christian. My parents are Christian, and they have been my whole life, and their parents as well. So, I grew up around it, but it was never like I truly understood it. It was always just kind of like, since that was what I grew up in, that's what I was. But there was never any meaning to it to me, like for real. But when I was around like 8th grade or so, like middle school, I fell away from the faith because it was a period of my life where like I felt like I needed to know the answers to everything. And I was like, no, I'm a logical person and I'm intelligent. And there were like, I essentially was asking a lot of very shallow questions about my faith and being like, well, I can't think of an answer. So basically I kind of like logically tore down the foundation of my faith. I say logically, you know, and so I fell away. And it was also partially because I had begun struggling with my gender identity. And, you know, I was asking my friends to call me a different name. I was wearing different clothes and that kind of thing. And that went from probably 8th grade to maybe when I was a sophomore in high school. And that was the big thing, was I couldn't compromise the way I was feeling with what I knew to be true. And I chose my feelings over my faith. And I decided that what I was feeling was more true than what I had been brought up on. And so 2-3 years go by of me, like, I stopped going to church, and I had an occasional struggle with my faith. Like, am I doing the right thing walking away from this? And then one day I haven't talked about this like a lot, especially not publicly. And it almost feels kind of strange to talk about it, but one day I literally just woke up in the morning, and it was like he had reached into my heart and placed a statement there. Like it was like he had spoken to me just before I woke up, and it was like waking up to a voicemail. You know, it's really weird, but he had spoken to me, and he had said that was not who I was, and I was lying to myself and lying to other people. And that was just about all it took for me to go, okay, like, let's do it. And I started coming back to church, and I started bringing my girlfriend, who also was previously not a believer, and through that, I reconnected with the guys in the band. And so they were honestly, a huge part of my testimony. Like, just being around them and like watching them be strong in their faith was like really big for me. But I'm glad for the gender identity struggle. And I'm glad that I went through that, because now on the other end of it, I can, you know, understand people who are going through it, and I can be a light to people who have gone through or are going through a similar thing, you know. So like it destroyed me. It destroyed my mental health, and it hurt my relationship with my parents. But I ultimately am grateful for it, because I don't think that I think that without it, I never would have truly discovered a relationship with Christ. I think it always would have been a kind of like shallow like acknowledgement that he was there, but I never would have developed a true relationship without that separation that came first, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense.
And so, like I said, I'm 19 now. I graduated a year ago. So for 3 years now, I've been free of that, all thanks to him. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. You know the
rest.
That's
beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you also, for sharing that.
Yeah. So I've always said our suffering is our gift. I know my suffering, everything I've went through, that was a huge gift for me, because of like what you just said, it brings you close to Jesus. You start to understand, and then you start to understand who you really truly are. And that testimony, I think, is heavily needed today, especially today. So thank you so much for sharing that. That's going to help a lot of people.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
For sure. And I was going to say, you know, you absolutely need to share that more, because there's people out there that felt that are feeling the exact same way that you did. And to hear that you went through it, you got to the other side, and look where you are now. That's powerful. Like, that's strong. So I encourage you, share your testimony anytime you can. Like, you're going to help somebody out there. Someone watching right now, some kid out there watching is going to be like, wow, I'm dealing with that right now. And look, Jackson got through it. I can get through this. So think about that.
I appreciate the encouragement. Thank you. I have shared it before, not from the stage necessarily. Our song In His Image, I actually wrote about it. And I'd love to talk about that song if you guys want me to, because that's one of my favorites that we have.
Yes.
But basically, the album Thrones was almost like we were closing in on finishing it, and I kind of like, I had the idea, I was like, I know I want to write about this. Like, I really want to have a song for Unbroken Rain about my experience with that. And I was just kind of waiting for the right song to come along, and Ethan shot over a demo, an instrumental, and I was like, that's the one. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know how I'm going to say it. I'm going to write about this on that song. That's the one. And so I did, and I wrote about just like losing my identity and being influenced by the world and then finding it again through Christ. And whenever we did play it, the few times we have, I will say beforehand, like, this song is about a time when I lost my identity. I didn't know who I was, and Christ pulled me out of that. And that's what I leave it at. And if people want to talk to me about it afterwards, they can come talk to me about it afterwards. But I try not to like stop down the show and talk for like 5 minutes, especially because, I mean, there are people who can do that, and I love to watch it. Maddie Montgomery, Alexis from Bloodlines, and, you know, Michael from Heartbound, a band we're buddies with, they're incredible at that. And I am not so well equipped, at least I don't think so. But also because a lot of people can get kind of uncomfortable if I start talking about, like, this song is about when I thought I was a girl, and like, I don't want to just, you know, pull that out on stage like that. So I kept it short, but we also, like, I don't have many opportunities to talk about it through that song because we don't play it, because it's 6.5 minutes long, and it's very, very tiring for me and Ethan. And also we're on a new album now, so we kind of cycled out a lot of the Thrones material, but I did have the opportunity to talk to an audience member about my testimony, in March, maybe. We played, with a band called Diatheek. Those guys are really cool. I love them. And someone who I'd never met, like a new fan, came up to me side stage after I was just hanging out and asked me to share my testimony. And I was very excited to do that because I had never been asked that by a fan before. But yeah, I talk about it whenever the opportunity arises.
And God will open the doors for it. God will know when you need to talk about it. If you need to play it, he'll put it on your heart. He's got it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Real quick, we got a few people in our chat asking who you are and what band you're with because they just joined. So do you want to go ahead and just tell them who you are and who you're with?
Yeah, what's up, guys? I'm Jackson, and I scream for a band called Unbroken Rain. We're a Christian metalcore band from Texas.
There you go.
Again, so there's one song I want to talk about. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
All right. So you did a song with Michael Felker called Soundtrack to a Murder.
Yes, we did.
Can you talk about that, please?
I can.
It's so good, but I feel there's a story behind it.
Yeah, actually. So that is one of my favorites off of Thrones, and it hurts my heart that nobody listens to it. It became a sleeper pick, which I like kind of sort of expected just because of the, like, it's a little stylistically different from the rest of the album, you know. Yes. It's got a bit more of a throwback sound, which was intentional. But I wrote that song. I built it for a feature. I knew when I went into it, I was like, I want to get somebody to collab on this. I just didn't know who at the time. And so I wrote it about a man who is killed in his home, and he comes face to face with God, and he has to like come to grips with the way he spent his life. And it's entirely fictional. I just, I basically wrote this, like, I came up with it myself. It's a very simple story. Like, it's not super complicated. But I had a lot of fun writing it cause I love to, tell stories. I guess this is a little embarrassing to admit on a Twitch chat, but I love Dungeons and Dragons, and I'm a big writer. I love like building worlds and that kind of thing, and I love writing short stories and all that sort of stuff. So I had a lot of fun doing Soundtrack to a Murder before that reason. I was like, I want to write a story for a song. I want to do a concept track that isn't like related to my life. I just want to tell a story. And so I was really happy with how it turned out, and we had like a demo where I was screaming both parts of the feature because we didn't know who we were going to get yet, and we talked through a couple options, and we landed on Mike because we love Convictions. We just opened for them pretty recently, and that was like a dream come true. We're very big fans, and he absolutely destroyed it. I mean, his parts are incredible. One of the coolest things for me to come out of Thrones was getting to, like, not necessarily meet him because it was just like phone number, Instagram, but getting to like talk to the guy and like hear him be like, yeah, the song is sick. Like, I was freaking out the whole time we were making it with him. And so that was very cool. And he's such a nice guy. I mean, he like, and he did it like, no complaints, no problems. Like, I just gave him the lyrics and I was like, here's what we have, go crazy. And he did. He demolished it. It's sick. I do have to admit, if we could run it back, I would probably not have put him on Soundtrack to a Murder for the style reasons. I probably would move him to like Deceitful Tongues or maybe Daybreaker because I feel like those just fit him a little better, but I am extremely happy with how Soundtrack turned out, and I love his parts, obviously.
Yeah. Well, you can always do another one with him.
What's that?
You can do another one with him.
Might have to. Mike, if you see this, just
yeah, Mike.
You never know. He could be watching. And I'm going to tell you, I've been listening to the new album, just going through that, you know, Sins We Keep Alive. I've been listening to that. So I was like, why haven't I found the song yet? Like, I've been, of course, it was on Throne. So now I got to go back and listen to that one. I'm sitting here, I'm like, I don't see it. And I'm like, as you guys are talking, I'm scrolling through Spotify going, why am I not finding the song?
Yeah. Well, funny story though. The original demo name for Fighting with Flesh, every one of our songs when it starts out as an instrumental has some ridiculous demo title just for like the instrumental file that we send back and forth. And that Fighting with Flesh's demo was Soundtrack to a Murder 2, because it was meant to be like, I guess more of a mature version instrumentally of that like style that we were going for.
And you are now getting roasted on YouTube. They want to know, Unbroken Reign Official is asking, who is this Jackson guy?
Hi, Lucas.
Someone else here is saying, I just want to say that I love that you're making music this early in life. I was not that productive in high school. Like, in high school, I'm telling you, like, many, 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 many years ago, when I was in high school, many years ago, I could barely tie my shoes and walk. And here you are putting out some fantastic music. So, I'm impressed.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, all right, go ahead, Kira.
Yeah, I have lots more stuff. Okay. So in Fighting with Flesh, I was going to ask you, why did you choose Matthew 8:20-22 to read that scripture?
Oh, the build up section. Yeah. So I kind of, I felt a little like worried about it after completing the song, because I was worried that it would feel disconnected from the rest of the lyrics, but I think that it does connect. I think that it works conceptually, because Fighting with Flesh is about the original sin and the sinful nature that we've inherited from Adam and Eve. And so that the scripture that I read in that bridge section, it speaks to me about like putting down things of the flesh and walking with Christ instead, and like choosing what is righteous over what is evil. So that's why I chose that passage. And like I said, I was worried that people would be like, that doesn't feel like it makes, like, it doesn't make sense. It's not connected at all. But I don't know. I think it worked out.
I think it worked out perfectly, honestly, because it's something we can all, if we're being honest, we all feel that same way. We're all fighting with something in our flesh every single second of every single day. And part of it is being able to let go of that one thing just to follow Jesus. I mean, I struggle every day. Every day.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful song. My favorite.
I love how you said that you struggle every day in this. Like, you would think it would get easier as you grow in your faith, but it just does not, because I think the devil just attacks harder. Like, I've been a Christian for almost 20 years, and I feel like Satan comes after me harder now than he did before I know who Christ was. Like,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. He's trying to win you back.
Yep, for sure.
The happier I become in life. I've only been a Christian for 3 years. I was my whole life in addiction, totally off the rails, crazy. And so I've only been doing this for 3 years. And yeah, the happier I become, the harder the attacks get, the bigger the hits are. And that's why I love Christian metal so much, because it's the only thing that really speaks to me. It's the only thing that I find common ground with. I get to the point where the world, like even in the Christian community, it's just hard to talk to people, like, really.
Yeah,
and when I'm listening to your music and other bands, I feel like we're having a conversation and you get it. And I feel like I can just breathe and everything's going to be okay, because you're there. You get it, you know, and Jesus is there. And it's a whole thing that pulls me through every day. Like, if I didn't have bands like yours and Bloodlines and Convictions and Wolves at the Gate, like, I would not be okay. I would not. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It really means a lot to hear that you know, our lyrics connect with people and that kind of thing. That really means a lot to me.
Dude, your songs are, so I have ADHD really bad, and your songs just play on loop, like, throughout the whole day. I'll be just at work, like, singing your lyrics in my head, and, like, that gets me through the moment. True statement.
I love that.
So, what kind of reaction have you guys received from, like, people at church when they hear, do they know your music? Do they walk up and be like, whoa, that last song was fantastic? Or do they come up and be like, couldn't understand a word you were saying?
It's a little bit of both, just because, so like I said, we grew up in the church, so everybody knows us.
Yeah.
And it's not a huge church. It's you know, it's growing rapidly, which we're very grateful for, but it's, you know, it's relatively smaller. So everybody knows everybody. It's a very, like, it's a beautiful community. But we have had 4 shows now at the church. Like, in the past, they've let us play there as a church event, and people will come and, like, buy shirts and whatever. But our recent ones, we, like, treat it like a venue, and we pay to be there. But so people from the church who don't really, like, who don't necessarily, like, love metal music and love heavy stuff, they just know us, and, like, they know that, you know, even if you can't understand me too well, we come to worship. And so they come support us, and it's very cool. And a lot of the younger people, like, especially that we grew up with in youth, will come up and be like, dude, the last one was awesome, I love that new track, all that kind of thing. And then people, like my grandma, who will be like, you need to put the lyrics up because I can't understand you. But it's all love. It's all love.
Yeah. And that's kind of why we do this show, because, you know, we all know a lot of pastors, and they're like, Christian metal, just, there's no value in it. And I'm like, no, look at these guys. That's why we talk to you guys. I mean, yes, we want to hear about your music, but what did I tell you a few minutes ago? We want to hear your heart, your love for Jesus. Because if you can get through to some of the guys that are like, nah, you know what, Christian metal, it's just not, there's no redeeming value to it, they can hear, man, their heart for Christ is massive. And I say this a lot. Music like yours has more gospel truth to it than some of the stuff that the bigger Christian stations, like, not going to mention any names, but it's like they play contemporary Christian music and you listen to it and you're like, this is all fluff. Like, music, the Christian metal scene does not do fluff. They do real. It talks to people. That's right. Like me. To, like, cure.
I have to agree. I agree. I think that that's largely because metal historically is not afraid to get dirty and raw. You know, like, metal is a very, like all emotions bared. Like, I'm literally up on the stage screaming my lungs out. You know, like, I'm just bearing my whole heart to the audience. And I think that that's, like, an inherent, like, a core aspect of metal. Like, every metal subgenre is, like, just so much raw emotion, and they're not afraid to get down in the mud, you know? And I think that's really important to have that.
And this, people, is why they stand on Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Boom.
Yeah, I always tell people, and they're like, you know, Jesus wasn't like that. He was meek and mild. I'm like, yeah, and he also fashioned a whip and flipped some tables. So sometimes you have to get raw, and you have to have that righteous anger to get through to people, you know.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Was Jesus. So
we had that makes me think of, we had a comment on one of our videos pretty recently, I couldn't tell you how long ago, that says something along the lines of, it was actually a video of us playing in his image live, and this is our most watched video on YouTube. Like, this one popped off for some reason. I'm grateful for it because I love that track. But we had someone, I there's a little bit at the beginning where I talk about finding identity in Christ, and someone commented, like, I don't think Jesus would appreciate you screaming at him. And I just replied, I'm screaming for him, not at him, you know. And a lot of what I write is about, like, my convictions and, like, the sins that I've particularly struggled with in my personal life. And so if anybody, I'm screaming at myself, you know. And it's meant to be, like, I purposely write with a lot of songs with, like, the second person. So, like, I'm speaking to you and to get really the edge of conviction. You know, I do that on purpose.
It's a smart move. I love it. So you guys, I love your Insta, by the way. I think it's really funny. I think you have a few good funny videos. I think it shows people like truly who you are as a person, not just as a bandmate or, you know, a Jesus follower, but just who you are, Jackson. I love that. And you also introduce your girlfriend into some of them too, which I think is nice.
Yes. Yeah.
I think she's very cute. I love her.
She is. I agree. I love her too. but yeah, I really try to like the band page is where we post all our actual music and like, you know, edits of our, like whatever. Are like the content on the band page is our product, which is our music, and then our faith is obviously above that. And I admit we used to do this more, but we probably should be posting like more straight scripture. I think we'll probably start doing that soon. But on my page, I really try to show people that I am literally just a guy, and that's really important to me because I don't think it's good or necessarily healthy to like put artists, no matter how talented they are, on a pedestal like that. And that's so like I really just try to be as human as I can be on the internet and when I meet people in person. Like we finish our set and I bring down the mic stands while the guys are tearing down the drum kit, and I just hang out at the merch table and I meet people. And I think that's really important to like humanize ourselves to our audience. It's so that like, not that we're like crazy huge or like not that we're, you know, like not to be like overblown about it, but not like we don't want to become an idol in that way where people like really care about the performance over the people and the message, you know, like I just think it's really important to just be human. And that's why I post silly stuff. Because people like, I get I'm kind of intimidating. You know, I'm real tall and I scream real loud. And then you go to my page and I'm dancing around with my sister in the rain. And it's like, I just try to be silly and I try to, like, look at me, man. I'm a kid. Like, just hang out. Be cool. You know?
Yeah. I think that's very smart. Always stay like that. Always stay humble. I know that when I went to Bloodlines recently and I met all of them, I had to tell myself, Kira, they're just guys. We don't need to idolize them. We don't do that. I had to try to calm down, right? And then I met them, and they were the most genuine, humble, down-to-earth dudes. Talked to them for like an hour. So amazing. But they were hanging there at the merch table, and that's what I love. We need to be able to show each other that we're all the same. Just because you guys are up there, we're down here, like, we're all the same still.
Absolutely.
And we need each other.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Bloodlines is really good at that. I mean, they run their own merch table just like we do, and they hang out and they talk. And I'm terrible because people come to the merch table to talk to me, and I won't tell them to leave. I love to talk to people, and I like we sign a lot of stuff. And I would feel so awful if I was talking to somebody and be like, "Hey, dude, there's somebody behind you. Can you move?" Like I would just feel like a jerk. So I'm terrible about that. I'll just talk to one person like forever if they just keep talking to me. But it's also like for the same reasons I will leave the stage during the songs a lot, and I'll get down in the pit with everybody. And that's like, I love doing that. And I think, especially if we have a really tall stage, I will do that. I'm literally bringing myself down to you guys because I want to feel more connected with the audience. And I want you to see, like, literally I'm just a guy. Like, I'm not afraid to come down here and mosh around with everybody else. Like, it's, you know, I'm just a guy.
Keep
well,
that
attitude.
You said you're gonna hold me to that.
Yes, she said that.
All right.
But honestly, keep that attitude that, you know, you're just a humble guy. You're just a guy. Because I'll tell you, when I first became a Christian, one of the first bands I met was Demon Hunter. I was at their show, and they were back at Yogi was back at their merch booth, and I knew nothing about them. One of my friends invited me. He's like, "Dude, you like metal? Come see them." I was going to buy one of their CDs. I'm like, I didn't even know who the guy was other than I'd seen him on the stage. I'm like, "Hey, which one of these should I buy?" And he's like, "You want to buy one of my CDs?" Yeah. He's like, "Would you like me to sign it for you?" Yes. He's like, "You want me to go get the rest of the guys and have them sign it?" Yes. Like, but, you know, they were just so humble that they were like, "We can't believe that you want to buy our merch." I'm like, "I can't believe you're sitting here talking to this dork." And pretty much every Christian metal band that I've had the honor to meet, they've all been so humble.
Absolutely,
I mean,
man.
I'm even talking like Disciple.
Yeah.
We had them on the show, and they were just like, guys, how are you doing? And I'm like, you guys are Disciple. What are you doing on our show? Yeah. You know, so, it, like, keep that attitude. Just realize, yeah,
absolutely,
yes, you have talent. You guys are awesome, but
thank you.
You're also just guys.
Yep. We're literally just five broke teenagers. You know, we're just blessed enough to be on that stage. And like, yeah, I've said it a bunch already, but I just think it's really important to be human, especially to your audience of people who like care about what you do. And I'll give flowers to Nick from Wolves of the Gate and all the guys from Convictions, because when we opened for them, that was incredible. I mean, like I said, Wolves of the Gate, they're OGs and they're like giants in the Christian core scene, and Convictions is they're a little younger as a band, and like they're massive, and to meet them and them just be like regular guys, and they were super cool with us, and like they signed stuff for us, and like that was awesome. Like I was freaking out. I like Convictions got to the venue and Mike walked past me and I was like, what do I do? Like I was geeking out. And then I met the guy and he was so nice, and he was he was just being a guy, and like that was so cool. And like we recently had the privilege to open up a show for Jamie's Elsewhere and Woe Is Me. And that, I was even freaking out more, because those guys practically wrote The Sins We Keep Alive. I mean, Jamie's Elsewhere's album, They Said a Storm Was Coming, from 2010, and Woe Is Me's Genesis from 2014, I think, were giant influences on our new record. And so when I met Michael Bone and Hans Allegood from Woe, and when I met Aaron Pauly from Jamie's Elsewhere, and they were literally just guys, and they're like, yeah man, your set was so cool, that was huge for me, because I was like, these guys, like I'm guilty of putting those guys on a pedestal. I mean, Aaron Pauly's literally the guy from Of Mice and Men. Like I was like nervous to meet them, and I was like, I had to really be like, okay, just go talk to him, you're playing on the same stage, just go talk to him. And he literally talked to me for like an hour, and he signed a CD for me, and he was just like the chillest and the most human guy, and it was so, so cool, and I love that. And so I want to be that for other people.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's like when I met Alexis from Bloodlines, and he talked to me for so long, and then he gave me a free shirt, and I was like, what, really? It's so cool. But again, don't idolize him. He's just a cool dude. Yep. And I will cherish that moment for a long time.
Yeah.
But I'll do that. I'll be that weird lady. Like, I talk, I get nervous, and I just rumble on about weird stuff. So if you don't get rid of me, we're going to just talk forever. Just know that. But you're like, you're the same age as my kid, so I'm going to be like a weird mom about it.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's okay. We don't mind.
So we're about 50 minutes in. We're getting ready to wrap up here pretty soon. Is there anything that you would like to share with the Rock for Him viewers and listeners?
Can I embarrass myself a little and admit that today?
Absolutely.
Was when I...
We're all about embarrassing people.
All right, cool. I did not realize until today that you guys are immersion. I had no idea. Jeez, that you guys are, I did not know that you were a part of immersion, and that this was connected. Did not know that until today, so that's a little my bad probably, but
no, it's totally fine. That's so I started messaging you on Insta because I was like, you know, not only a big fan, but I was like, I want to get these guys like out there a little bit. And then it just so happened you got on immersion, so I've been telling the whole world, like, I'm going to tell you guys again, September 4th and 5th, Circleville, Ohio, free event. Unbroken Rain's going to be there along with a plethora of way awesome bands. Please come. It's going to be amazing. Please
look come. At Kira using big words, plethora.
I know some.
No, like, Kira is heavily involved in immersion, and our other co-host, Jeremy, he's heavily involved in Kingdom Come Fest. Me? Awesome. I'm heavily involved in the podcast.
Solid Rock Radio.
That's awesome.
And Solid Rock Radio. Awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so. Anyways, what do you guys got coming next? Like, you got any new music coming out? Do you have anything new?
Yeah, so as far as new music goes, I won't say, like, the nature or length of what we're working on, but what I will say is we literally never stop. And so you can always expect that we have something coming. We went 11 months between Thrones and The Sins We Keep Alive. Like, it wasn't even a whole year. And that's not because we sit down and we go, we got to get this album out. We got to go. Like, we just don't ever stop writing because we love to do it. And also, we have, like, home studios. So it's really easy for us to just, like write on a whim. Like, I just literally go to my bandmate's house and we write. So we are working, but no release date, no idea of when or how or whatever, you know, all that kind of thing. We just are working, and that's I'll leave it at that. In regards to live stuff, we're looking at pretty much nothing until Immersion. So we're going to fly up to Immersion, then we're going to come back home. And then we are headlining on September 18th at a place called The Rail with our buddies in a band called Heater. That's going to be really fun. We're excited for that. I guess I'll throw in this little detail. Wilson Marshall from Collective Dust should be filling in on guitar for us at that show. Just kind of a random little thing. Because Lucas should be unable to make it, so that'll be a fun time. And then after that, again, like nothing until November when we're hitting the road with Heal the Hurt and Magdalene Rose. And we are beyond excited for that because it's our first tour, like, for real. And it's 2 weeks, so we're going to be out of state for 2 whole weeks, and we can't believe it. Trevor and everyone from Heal the Hurt has been nothing but, like, supportive and generous to us, and, like, Trevor worked really hard to bring us out, and so we're super grateful for that. We're starting in Chicago, and then we're doing, like, pretty much the whole East Coast, and then we're finishing back in Texas. So anybody watching this, if you live on the East Coast, we will probably be close enough to you that you have no excuse but to come out and watch us. So,
are you coming to Michigan?
Yes. Let me check. I think so. I think so. Hold on.
Because that's where I'm at.
Really? Okay. Let me see.
Trevor's the best, though. Everyone loves Trevor.
Yeah, Trevor's
the best
awesome.
Dude ever.
Okay, love him. We're playing. Actually, we're playing twice in Michigan.
Ooh, I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah, we're playing in Lansing and Detroit.
Okay, so I'm right in between both of those, so I'm
awesome.
Near Flint.
Come to both.
So, yeah, and I'm telling you, Magdalene Rose, we had her up here last year.
Awesome.
It was her and Seventh Day Slumber.
Yeah.
Whoa, she is fantastic. She puts on a great
Absolutely.
Show.
Yeah, so. I recently I got to see her open for Seventh Day Slumber because they came through and played at The Rail where the guys and I are playing in September. And they had a couple of local guys that we know that were really sick too. But I had heard a lot about Maggie through, like, King McCore, but I had never listened to her album or her music. And so I was blown away when I saw them. They were fantastic. It was very good. And I'm super excited to be out on the road with them. It's going to be cool.
Well, I may have to go see you guys when you're in Lansing just so I can walk up and feel old even more.
I'd love to see you there. It'd be awesome.
For sure. All right. We are getting close to our wrap-up time. So I am going to ask Kira, do you got any more questions? I know you have a booklet full of stuff you want to talk to Jackson about. So what do you got?
One last question.
All right.
So are you guys tied to a record label yet or no?
No, we are completely 100% DIY, right down to our album art, like everything, we do it ourselves. And honestly, like, we're not looking to get signed because we're capable of doing it ourselves and we like to do it that way. And then, you know, no strings attached. You know, if we don't like a song, we don't have to put it out. And if we really like a song, we can put it out. And that's like, we don't have to pay anybody to do that. So
sure.
No, and we don't plan on it, to answer your question shortly. Yeah.
That makes sense. But I definitely could see one day you guys being with Face Down Records with Bloodlines.
I agree. they seem to, like, from what I've heard, they seem to be very kind to their bands and their artists, and that's really important. I know Bloodlines obviously is on there, Cultist, those guys rip, Confessions of a Traitor is on there, and Steve, I don't know if y'all have ever seen Confessions or met Steve, but he's like the nicest guy on the planet, and they would be one that if they reached out, we would definitely be like, well, we'll get back to you. Like, we'll think about it. But generally, we're not going to go reaching out and being like, hey, will you sign us? Like, we're not going to be submitting applications. But Face Down in particular, if they reached out, I think we'd be open to that for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you don't need to. I mean, you guys are very talented. Your music speaks for itself. And you guys are just going to grow. You're going to get huge. So get ready. For real. Get ready.
Thank you. Thank you. The one thing that
I'll do whatever I can to help.
Thank you. I appreciate it. The one thing that a label would really be big for us on is because we're small and DIY, like we pay to like print our own merch, and like that's huge. That's like a lot. Printing shirts, especially in huge batches to take on the road or whatever, that's expensive. And being on a label can help with that big time. I have to give our guitar player Lucas his flowers because he designs all our merch. Like almost every single thing on the website is designed by him, and he's so good at it. He's great. Anybody watching, check out Throne Room Designs on Instagram. That's his design account, and you can hit him up for design stuff. He's killer.
I'll tell you what, after this is over, send me all the links to your guys' stuff and his stuff, and I'll put them in the show notes so people can just click on it and go see it.
Absolutely.
All right. Fortunately, it is getting to be that time. Well, I shouldn't say unfortunately, because I love this time, because I get to pray. So, unless, Kira, you're so excited, do you want to pray?
No, I can't do that live yet.
All right, so.
I did the opening prayer.
You did. All right, so how can we be praying for you personally, Jackson, and praying for the band?
I would say just keep me convicted. Keep me working for the Lord and only for him. And I think that applies to all of us, all five of us in Unbroken Reign. And really just like, not to sound selfish, but just that we reach people. And that's not like for me, that's so that like people can hear of the Lord, you know, like that's what we're all about. So, you know.
Okay. All right. I can pray for all that. And just so you know, we do pray through these. I say this all the time, but we have a thread set up where Kira's on it. Our other co-host, Jeremy's on it. I'm on it. My 17-year-old daughter's on it. And we all pray, yes, Kira, I know I have to update it. I haven't updated it in a while. I need to. I will.
That's your
conviction. Promise. That is my conviction. But we do pray for you guys every single day. So just know that you have people praying for you. So I'm going to go ahead and pray us out of here before we get ready to go. So, great and heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Jackson and the other guys in Unbroken Reign. Although they're all sinners and couldn't be here with us tonight, we forgive them for that. Lord, I ask that you just watch over all of them. I ask that you keep them focused on you, keep them convicted of the things that would turn them against you. Lord, keep them just focused steadily on you. Keep them working for you. Help them bring honor and glory to you. Lord, put a hedge of protection around them. We know that the stronger they get in faith, the harder the enemy fights to pull them away. So, Lord, just continue to bless them, strengthen them, keep them safe. Watch over them as they go out on the road. Provide the finances they need to continue to tour, to continue to make music. And Lord, we thank you just so much for bringing Jackson here to us tonight and letting us get to know him just a small bit. But above all else, we thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins on that cross. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Jackson. I appreciate you coming on and sharing just a little bit with us. And Kira, you know what to do.
Well, I just want to thank you personally, and I thank the whole band just for being so fearless and bold, and especially at your age, being able to do what you're doing and stay with Jesus in this whole thing. Like, I can't even imagine how hard that could be at your age, especially. So thank you guys, all the whole band. Thank you. And Jackson, it's been amazing. Thank you so much for doing this with us. Jason, I love you. And if you're going to rock, rock for him.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below. And don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're going to rock, rock for him.
Be sure to tune in next week because you're not going to miss it as we talk to Dinks the Puppet. Yes, folks, you heard that right. We're interviewing a puppet, and it was a great interview.